Any better, bro? We'll see. Tell me if I need to change something else, okay? I'll come back behind the speakers maybe a bit. Cool? Awesome. So, as a part of celebrating this morning, what I like to do, and I started it a couple of years ago, was to give away some Christmas CDs. Because Christmas music is so good. And so, under your seat, well, potentially under your seat, stuck to the bottom, is a Christmas CD. There are two in the house this morning, so if there's not under yours and there's spare seats between you, go and look, okay? We got one. Do we have the second? And we got a second one. So good. Awesome. Yeah, awesome. So, that's Hillsong's new CD that they released this year for Christmas. It's called The Peace Project, and it is a beautiful CD. We're getting a lot of eyeing. Are people disappointed? I'm sorry, I don't have enough money to put one under every CD. Come on, guys, seriously. All right, anyway. So last week, we kicked off our Christmas series looking at this. Not only are the words, fear not, used throughout the Christmas story, but that fear not is actually a key theme to the story of Christmas. That when the angels announced fear not, they were declaring that one was coming who would ultimately defeat the power of fear, anxiety, and worry. And we no longer have to fear because through the person of Jesus, whose arrival we celebrate at Christmas time, we have come to know this truth. God is with us. And so, I want you all to now turn to your neighbours, those beside you, in front and behind, and just turn to them and go, God is with you. God is with you. Yeah. Awesome. Now that can be something that we can, that's something that we can really easily like announce to others. And it's a beautiful truth. It's a powerful truth to announce to other people, to turn to somebody and go, hey Seb, God is with you. God is with you, bro. Like that is such a cool thing to be able to declare. But there is also something really powerful about that when you stop and you now don't turn to your neighbors or anything like that, but you just say to yourself out loud, God is with me. God is with me. There you go. God is with me. You guys have the permission to say that. Go. 3, 2, 1. God is with me. Okay, and now I don't want you to say it to me. I want you to say it to yourself. 3, 2, 1. Yeah. What? You need a mirror. Gosh. Just take your glasses off, bro. It's really interesting, eh, how we can say to each other, you know, like, God is with you, God is with you, Emmanuel, Jesus, God is with you. And then we can go, and then somebody says, say God is with me. And we're like, yeah, God is with me. And then you go, no, actually say it to yourself. And all of a sudden, there is a beautiful weight that comes to those words. And notice how the whole room, like, in just like a real subtle and powerful way, it was more like, huh, God is with me. God is with me. And so throughout this morning, let's not forget that truth, that God is with us. This morning, we're going to get into Mary's story, and we will be reading from Luke chapter 1 this morning. So we were Matthew chapter 1 last week, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 1 this week. And we're going to be reading from verse 26 this morning. And it's going to be coming up on the screen, but also feel free to open your Bibles or turn on your devices and check it out. So from verse 26, it says this, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. What does she say? What does the angel say? The Lord is with you. Again, I mean, the angels are declaring this to Mary. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words. That's a really interesting reaction. But then we carry on and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. See, even like then, for a people, the nation of Israel, who was waiting for the promised Messiah, when they hear these words, God is with you, or the Lord is with you, it's like a, whoa. I mean, like, I know you know we're waiting, but is this actually going to happen? And it's just really interesting to like wonder what was like ripping through Mary's head at that moment that caused her to kind of, in a way, step back and go, what? The Lord is with me? But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Some of the translations say, fear not. Awesome. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Last week we dug into how God's presence is greater than the power of fear. God's presence is greater than the power of fear because he is greater than anything that we could fear. This morning, I want to get into how not only is God with us, which is something that we hear declared throughout the story of Christmas, but because of that truth, God is with us, and because of the message of Christmas, we also see this truth, that God is for us. God is for us. Verse 30 reads this, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. So the Greek word here that we translate into favor is, and it will come up on screen so that we can all check it out. There we go. So the original word and the transliteration, or how we would say it. So last week I made a blunder of trying to pronounce it, but the Greek word this morning is chais. Chais. Can you guys say chais? Chais. Awesome. Good stuff. And the definition of that is grace as a gift or blessing brought to man by Jesus Christ. Favor. Now, when we read that, it makes sense for the translation to be stated favor or grace. Some translations kind of interchange those words in this moment. But the really interesting thing is that when I started doing some digging into this word grace or favor in the original language, chais, and when I was doing this word study, I came across something that it blew me away. And it was actually this that gave me the idea of this morning. And it's that chais, I think I've got it ready to come up on screen. Yeah, chais is preeminently used of the Lord's favor, freely extended to give himself away to people, freely extended to give himself away to people because he is always leaning towards them. He is always leaning towards them. Mary had found favor with God not because of her doing or earning, but because of God's goodness and that he was always leaning towards her. Now for us this morning, take a moment to think about this, that you are covered by grace and God's grace is on your life. And in that, it means that God is leaning, always leaning towards you. And so we can do this, you know, like, oh man, I haven't been as like good in my faith as I should be, or like whatever that might look like. And I kind of feel like God is, you know, like hanging back, you know, and I need to do something to convince him to lean forward. God would say, no, that's what my grace is. I am always leaning forward. This morning, you are covered by God's grace. And that is so good. Yes? Yeah? I get it. For me, I was like trying to get my head around it over the last couple of weeks. And then I kind of got to a point where I decided to stop trying to get my head around it and just accept it. That God is leaning towards me, that I don't need to do anything to try get him to lean in, but I get to do that. I get to lean into him, into his love, into his grace, into his goodness, into his call and purpose on my life. I get to do that. And he is always there, leaning forward, ready to meet me. God was for Mary, and he is for us today. Through the Christmas story, God declares, "Fear not, for I am for you." Through the Christmas story, God declares, "Fear not, for I am for you." That God the Father sent his Son for you. There we go. In another way, this is God being for you. God the Father sent his Son for you. You know, we would openly accept that and go, yes, Jesus came for me. God sent his Son for me. This is God's showing that he is for you. But what does God being for you and me look like? Because we can really easily throw this around. This statement, yeah, God is with me, yes, so good. Yeah, God is for me, yes, so good. And then life happens. Anybody relate to that? Life happens. And we go, whoa, I mean, what? God, you said you were with me and that you're for me, that you're always leaning in, and I don't know what's happening right now. Things seem to be falling apart. We often think that God being for us should look a certain way, yeah? I will openly admit to that, that I think that God being for me should look a certain way. And how do you think that certain way is? How do you think I think God being for me looks like? Sorry? Everything goes my way. Yeah, you could say that. Ultimately, I think that it is like me, like in my human thinking, I can very easily think that God being for me will look like how I think it should look like. That the outcomes are my outcomes. That the outcomes are my outcomes. But Mary's experience of this was really different, okay? So an angel appears before her and he says to her, "You have found favor with God." Yeah? That's what we read. You have found favor with God. Oh, and by the way, you're going to become pregnant outside of marriage in a culture where at least you'll be ostracized and shamed and at worst stoned for adultery. By the way, God is for you. And that is my first point that I want to make this morning around this idea of God being for us. And it's this. That God being for you may look inconvenient. God being for you may look inconvenient. Let's unpack that a little bit because that could be a dangerous thing to say, Dave. Who gave him the mic? People are getting nervous. At the least, this was the case for Mary. That would be a really polite way to say that this was an inconvenience for her, yeah? That she was pregnant in a culture outside of marriage, in a culture that would at least shame her and at worst kill her. So that's a polite way of putting that God being for her, the favor and grace that she had found in her life from God was or could be inconvenient. Sometimes an inconvenience or interruption can enter our lives and we do our best to ignore or run from it. When actually that interruption is an invitation from God into something greater. Into something greater. So great, in fact, that we struggle to see it that way. Because God being for me, his for me should look like how I think it should look like. It's my outcomes, not his. Sometimes that inconvenience, sometimes that interruption is an invitation from God into something greater, His greater. And although it might not make sense, it is guaranteed better. Sometimes that interruption is a little niggle, a sense that we could or should do something about what we have seen or a situation that we know about. But we think to ourselves, that will take time that I don't have. Or, what could I possibly do in this situation? I'm nobody special. But that niggle possibly is the Holy Spirit stirring something up in you, and you are the exact person that God wants to use. Mary asks in verse 34, how will this be since I am a virgin? We can often think a lot less about ourselves. And I'm not necessarily saying that we need to think more of ourselves. I think Scripture actually commends us to think less about ourselves. But it's actually not about us, it's about God and what He can do. See, Mary was saying, how can this be? I'm a virgin. As she stands in front of an angel of the Lord. And the angel's response in verse 37 is this: no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. Fear not, Mary. God is with you. God is for you. And Mary's response is this: I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled to me. Our response to these inconvenient situations or interruptions that enter our life, our response to God needs to be this. I would love for my life and my prayer life to look a lot more like this. God, is this interruption an invitation from you? God, is this interruption an invitation from you? Second point. We're moving on, okay? God being for you is often in the ordinary. God being for you is often in the ordinary. After this appearance of the angel, we read very little about any interactions Mary has with angels. Life carried on for Mary. She gave birth and raised Jesus with very little else to go off. We don't read of any angelic Plunkett visits. Oh, and by the way, when raising the Son of God, the Most High, you should do this. We don't read any of that. You could say things went back to ordinary. Now, what I'm not saying is parenthood or giving birth is ordinary. Okay? For one, I can't even say that because I'm not a parent yet. Two, I even look at me and then my parents and have to acknowledge that that is an extraordinary thing. Would you, yeah? Yeah? I mean, they've done, they did their best. It's an extraordinary thing. But parenthood is full of the ordinary, the mundane, routine, changing nappies, endless cleaning, running the kids around, etc. It's full of the ordinary. Where, what I view, it can be really easy to kick into autopilot and survive, do life. Hopefully the child will live another day, make it through this day with my parenting skills. See, this is why I'm not a parent yet. You guys are listening to me going, Dave, you really, you need to hold off, or we need to do something about this. Yeah. It is in the ordinary, though, that the extraordinary is often witnessed and experienced. This was the case for Mary. Literally the very next chapter that we read, chapter 2, funnily enough, after chapter 1 of Luke, we read about two situations where ultimately it's extraordinary what happens. Where Jesus is brought to the temple and presented, as is Jewish custom. And then you have this teacher of the law who has been like waiting to see, or promised by God that he would see the promised one, the Messiah. And he comes and he sees them, and this stirring up happens in him. And he goes over and he grabs this child and he declares that this is the one who is going to change history forever. In the ordinary, Mary and Joseph, as it was in Jewish custom, were being obedient and taking Jesus to the temple to be presented, and this happens. The very next story, again, is in the temple when Jesus is older. Mary and Joseph, they lose Jesus. Sound familiar, parents? I was one of those children that walked away often. Sorry, Mum and Dad. But when they find Jesus, he is sitting with the teachers of the law. And he has not been taught by them, but he is teaching them. In the ordinary, in the, oh my gosh, I have lost my child, there was this moment where they witnessed the Messiah, the sent one from God, who is God himself, sitting with men and teaching them. In the ordinary, in the chaos of life, so often we will witness and experience the extraordinary. So let's not think little of the ordinary. Let's not think little of the ordinary, of the changing of diapers and the running around four children and the cleaning. And, you know, all of these things. Let's not think little of the ordinary. Instead, let's be seeking and asking God what he is doing and wants to be doing through us. Not just at home, but at work, at school, at university, at your sports club, at your pottery class. Like, whatever it is, what is God doing through you and or wants to be doing through you? In the ordinary, God wants to do the extraordinary. He wants to move in this world, both in your life and in other lives, through you. And the third point this morning is this: God being for you is always bigger than just you. God being for you is always bigger than just you. You see, this favor that Mary received, that God being for her, was never intended just for her. Jesus was her son, yes. But he was also Son of the Most High. And he came with a very, he came to save the world. Through the favor and grace that Mary received, this world has come to know God's favor and grace. Through what she received, this world has come to know God's favor and grace. That in and through the person of Jesus, we would come to know God is with us, and God is for us, and his for us has nothing to do with us deserving it. We don't deserve his grace, but that's what makes it grace. We didn't earn it or deserve it, but we are recipients of it because he loves us. Praise God for that. And that is something that we shouldn't want to keep to ourselves. That is something that is bigger than us. God being for you is bigger than just you. It is about the people and world around you. God's grace and favor in your life and on your life. is not meant to be kept to yourself. It is for this world. Because not only do I need Jesus, this world needs Jesus. God's favor is not just for you. His grace is not just for you. It is bigger than you, and it is about this world. Because God is about this world. He is active and moving. He wants people to know him, and he wants people to know his presence. Emmanuel, God with them. Not just us. Not just us. And so our response to God's grace in our lives needs to be one where we are asking God how we can share this with those around us, knowing that we have nothing to fear because he is with us, he is for us, and what you have isn't just for you. It was never meant to be kept to yourself. This week, I went and saw the Harrowfield Lights. Anybody seen the Harrowfield Lights? This week, or like just this year. Yeah, anybody, put your hands up if you've ever bothered to go see the Harrowfield Lights. Yeah, okay, a few more people. It's cool, it's very cool. Go check them out. Houses decked out, probably not to the level of America, but some of them are. Like, it's pretty amazing. There was this one house that we were, that was like in particular, specifically impressive. Because it was one of those houses where everything had been timed to music. So all the lights, the display was going to the music. So it was really cool. And what this one owner of this house had done was, in Harrowfield, you've got those like kind of like dividers that run between the roads going opposite directions. And on the grass, they had put a seat where you could go and sit and watch the display. So I went and I sat there and I started watching the display. And as I was doing it, we were there on the night of the competition where the judges walk around, judge the houses, and then they announce who's the winner. So this was Thursday just being. And while I was sitting there, the judges were walking along and they got to the house that I was watching and they walked on over to where I was sitting. And a couple of them were kind of like a little more distant, like further along the curb. But there was this one guy who was like standing like right beside the seat that I was sitting on. And at that moment, the song that was playing that like all the lights were going off to was this: Joy to the World. Joy to the World. And he, like, we hadn't said hello or anything like that at this point, But he turned to me and he said, "Joy to the world. What a strange song to be playing. Has this guy not taken a look at the world lately?" Joy to the world. What a strange song to be playing. Has the guy not taken a look at this world lately? And it just makes your heart break. Because even though there's all these festivities and lights and children running around and laughter, there is a man standing with a clipboard who does not understand the words "joy to the world." God's for us is bigger than us. It is for that man who was standing there with his clipboard, unable to understand the power of those words, that in spite of how the world looks, there is joy, there is love, there is peace, and his name is Jesus. And that is the reason for this season. He is the one that we celebrate. God's for me is bigger than just me. That man needs Jesus. He needs joy, he needs hope, he needs peace. He needs everything that I already have. He said that and he walked off. Actually, no, I don't think he quite walked off. He said that and I did turn to him and I go, "It's looking pretty good though," like in terms of like our immediate surroundings. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I suppose maybe this guy is bringing a bit of that joy to this world." And then he walked off. And I was like, "Oh, damn it. Perfect opportunity." Christmas is a season and story that we celebrate because we no longer have to fear. Because of the one called Jesus. And as the carol goes, our Emmanuel, our God with us. That's our promise. He is our Emmanuel. He is our God with us. His presence in our lives, his spirit in me. But it also is a season that we need to celebrate. So for all you Christmas haters, this is right at you right now. It is a season that we need to celebrate because it reminds us of a core reason as to why all this exists. That there is a world that cannot yet sing joy to the world. They cannot sing it because they do not get it. But we have it, and so we take it. Fear not, for God is with you. Fear not. For God is for you, and what you have is also for others. So the band is going to come up, and we're going to sing a song that declares God's goodness and greatness, and just invite you to just let it out that these truths, these things that we celebrate, are things to celebrate. We can often commend things that are good. We can go, yeah, somebody who's full of joy and really expressive, raising their hands or just really belting out that song. We can say, yeah, man, that's really good. Good on them. But we actually treat it more like it's okay. Like it's okay for them to do it. Now this morning, God is good. You are here because of him. And that is something to celebrate. And so, I invite you to not, engage in this song and these truths as you normally would. As, yeah. And I really don't want to offend anybody here, because I love you guys. I really do. But God loves you more. And he is deserving, so deserving, of our praise and adoration and expression and celebration. Because what we have is bigger than us. And so we should show it.
Yeah?
We should show it. And so I'm really sorry if I've offended anybody here by saying that last piece. But I do say it in utter love, not because I want to produce something here, but because God has done something in us and for us, and we have to respond. If we don't respond as a church, as a community, I don't know what else is going to get us to that point. And so I just, family, invite you to stand with me as we just pray and lift up the name of Jesus. But I also want to pray over those three specific points. God being for you may look inconvenient. I want to pray for those people here this morning who are wrestling with a situation that they feel like they might need to do something about and are wondering if they should do something about it. So I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for clarity and wisdom and empowerment for you. This morning I want to pray for those of you who feel like you are caught in the ordinary and don't know how to get out of that. I feel stuck by routine and mundaneness. But your heart and desire is to see in the ordinary God do the extraordinary. And I want to pray that God would, as a community, open our eyes to what he is doing and release you into that. And this morning, I want to pray for all of us that as a community, we would feel like the good weight that what we have is bigger than us and that those around us need God's grace because it's there for them. He's always leaning towards them. They just need it. And so if you are any of those three, and if you feel like you can, I would just invite you to, as a form of like practicing this expression in submission and surrender, would be to just like not raise your hands like this, but just raise your hands out like this and go, Lord, whatever it is that you have for me right now in this moment of prayer, I just want to receive it. I want to receive it. It's just like a physical expression of our inward position. That's all it is. It's nothing crazy. So if that's you, I just invite you to just put your hands out as we come before the Lord God, the Most High, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and to him who belongs all glory and power and praise. Yes, Jesus. In this space, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for Christmas, for the message of it, the true message of Christmas, that Jesus became poor, that we would become rich. And Lord, right now I just pray for all of those people who are wrestling with some form of inconvenience or interruption in their lives, wondering if this is an invitation from you. Lord God, I pray that you would bless them with wisdom and discernment as to whether this is something that you're calling them into. And I pray, Lord, for them that you would not just give them wisdom and discernment, but courage and empowerment through your Spirit to step into that, if that is what you would have for them. Lord God, pray for those of us here this morning who feel like we are caught in the ordinary, the routine of life, the mundane, and even like Christmas, just being this thing that we do. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you would give us eyes to see what you are doing around us. That you would give us eyes to see what you are doing around us, and Lord, what you want to do through us. Lord, that we would come to see the extraordinary. The extraordinary, because that is what you're doing. And I pray, Father, for like release, like out of that. That they would, that as a community, we wouldn't be bound by the ordinary, or we wouldn't belittle the little. But that in just moment by moment, we would be seeking you and what you are doing in this world. And Lord, I pray, Father, for us, all of us as a community, that this morning you would stir up in us and do something in us, Lord, that we would realize the gravity and extent of your grace and favor on our lives, and that that would be something we cannot keep to ourselves. That it has to be shared, whether it be in word or deed, but that people's lives would be forever changed because you changed ours. So, Lord, we surrender to you, and Lord, we want to receive from you whatever it is that you would have for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much that your word will never fail, as the angel declared to Mary, that what you have proclaimed will come to pass. Thank you, Jesus. In your awesome name, the name that is above every name, King Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Amen.